time, we go on to item five, discussion of possible action. voting capacity study for Possum Kingdom Lake, Texas. Kent Rindy, observation, reason that.
Mr. Chairman, Board, Mr. Harold, if you appreciate all of your comments. I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes, but I've got five presentations that I'm going to provide this morning. First of all, the voting capacity study. I know you as a board, when you ask us to move forward upon nice recommendations, certainly at Possum Kingdom and as well as Granbury, to take a look at a benchmark of where we were, where we are on each lake through a voting capacity study. I think our consultant that did that, John Petray, with the experience that he had, gave us a very good benchmark to start with. We realize that probably in 4 or 5 years, whatever the right time frame might be, we need to come back and probably do another study as well. But this is a start for us, and we have every confidence that John did a good job with that study. So what I'd like to do today, to bring my slide up, Ken, is review one more time with you for Possum Kingdom first, the voting capacity study. The final report was submitted by John Petrie on the 1st of May. We had additional discussions with you on the 8th of May, 2 weeks ago, and there were two additional requests that were posed to the staff. One was to provide a recommendation on courtesy docks for dry stack storage, and the other was to look at the recommendation for a number of wet slips that nearly slew the proposed marina that was in around the Cliffs Marina there just across from it, if you remember that from the map. Next slide, please. We had provided to you, I think it was probably 9 or 10 different entities from around the U.S. that we had contacted, referenced dry stack storage. Don Woods did some additional phone calling to, was able to get a hold of 6 of those entities and received from them these percentages of courtesy docks to their dry stack storage. And it ranged anywhere from 0. And in that particular instance, there were about 400 plus, I believe, in that dry stack storage area where they had no courtesy docks, to one that had 30. Additionally, Bill Roof from Roof and Rack, nationwide, and that does a lot of dry stack storage, basically states that the industry standard is 10% for courtesy docks. So based on the above, the calls that we made in that particular standard, we're recommending to the board, and that's in the resolution, a maximum of 10% of courtesy slips for dry stack storage. Next slide. Director Gilhewitt asked us to take a look at potential number of wet slips for Neely Slough. We went back and looked at that again, and as we looked at the report, the management compartment recommendations therein, we felt very strongly that if we varied from that, that basically we just didn't have good grounds with the rest of PK and much less at Granbury to begin starting making variances, just as Harold had asked at Lake Granbury to do away with the red zone. It's a benchmark. I think it's a good study. And at this time, we still do not recommend wet stack storage in that area in Neely Slough. So unless there's other discussion on that, I've got a resolution that I'd like to read. If the board would like to discuss or have any other questions, I'd be happy to try to answer those.
What's the pleasure of the board?
Read your resolution.
Read the resolution, please.
Based on management department development recommendations, the following resolution is presented for consideration to the board of directors of the Brazos River Authority for adoption at its May 22, 2006 meeting. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby adopts the voting capacity study for Possum Kingdom Lake, Texas, offered by Park Studies Incorporated and tendered to the Brazos River Authority on May 1st, 2006. And be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby approves the recommendations contained within the final report of the voting capacity study by Park Studies Incorporated for Possum Kingdom Lake, Texas, with the stipulations agreed to by the Board of Directors and set forth herein as follows. Adopt the Possum Kingdom Lake Management Compartment Classifications Map E. Freeze existing commercial on-water facilities, parent wet storage marinas, close parent, at present levels to include those previously contracted, and opt for dry stack storage at suitable locations with courtesy docks set at a maximum of 10% of the dry stack storage permitted by the Brazos River Authority. No additional private on-water facilities for new developments. Install wide channel buoy markers. Authorize additional public boat ramps based upon lake impact. Continue to enhance public boat ramps, courtesy docks, and parking conditions. Continue to enforce local regulations regarding setback requirements. Create shoreline buffers to enhance water quality and shoreline preservation. And that concludes the resolution.
Thank you. The board has heard the resolution. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Director Moore. Is there a second? Second by Christian. Christian, excuse me. Discussion.
I'd like to make a comment. I personally have a problem with limiting what we're doing at Dealey Slough for Gaines Bend. I don't know whether it's, I'm just morally conflicted with it, but I just want to go on record. They applied three separate times over a period of 9 years. And quite frankly, with the latest resolution reads right now, if I were the Gibsons, I would go and I would build a 2,000 dry stack storage unit on my facility, and I'd say I have 2,000 dry stack storage, and this right there gives them the ability to put in 200 wet slips. So we are opening a can of worms. This is not addressing the situation.
I think if you look probably in your packets, I believe we provided the based on it on a request at the last board meeting as well, I think, to take a look at what is the maximum according to the study that we could look at on the lake, and we went into each management compartment and did the computations with that that would show basically what would be allowed in each area, additional boats that would take that area to red to 10 acres per boat.
So what would it be for the Dealey Slough?
Well, Dealey Slough, we would not put anything there at all based on it being compartmentalized where it is now. What we would do for the Gibsons is look at the current boat ramp that they have up on the north end of Gaines Bend. And I've got a backup slide there that basically shows the math on that if you want to see that.
Okay, so we're going to put the dry stack, we're going to put the courtesy docks on the main body of the lake.
In a currently green area, that's correct.
Currently green area.
Yes.
And are we limiting the size of them to install a dry stack storage facility?
Well, in my view, yes. What we basically would do, what we've done is looked at for that zone 9, the additional number of boats above and beyond what currently was in that area that would take that to 10 acres per boat. And then based on 25% of your dry stack storage out on the water at any one time, we multiply that number by 4 to give you the amount of dry stack storage that we would basically permit to have in that area.
So how many would that be?
I believe it's 76. If you want to bring that up, it's a backup. I'm sorry, it's a Gaines Bend backup.
And so 76 total dry stack?
I believe that was the number. We'll bring it up here. You should have, I believe you have some, I think you have this in your book, but we've got it at least as another backup here to show you. Nancy, did we put this chart that Mike did in the folders themselves, and we've got it on a backup, I believe, that Mike did. And then I'll bring the next slide up. And this is what we use. There's 269 acres roughly in compartment 9 where that boat ramp area is. At that density, 10 acres per boat. We basically come up with 27. There's a maximum amount of boats in that area for it to turn to red. And based on what's in there already that was 10 of 8, it would be 19, and we multiply that times 4 to get 76. And then 8 courtesy docks. They fully realize this is not close to what the Gibsons have asked for in the wet storage arena, but we're just trying to maintain within the bounds of the boating capacity study and the guidelines that we have.
And this is all based on using Map B?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, compare this with what would be available for the Willingham Ranch development.
If you bring up, Tina, I think we've got an XL, I believe it is. I remember the subject on it, and you can help us find it.
I believe Willingham, I might see if you can find it. I believe it's Willingham, if I remember right, in the zone area. Not there, the building capacity study book. I believe the east side of Willingham, where we're looking potentially for dry stack storage there, they had the same things that proposed on more on the western end. I think it's number, I see if it's number 44, Mike.
I think the area that they're anticipating, 47.
47, okay. There's 1,312 acres in that area. The average boats in that area on that D is 4.25. So that basically leaves about 127 boats that could go into that area as well. So the storage there would be about 508 for dry stack.
I'm sorry, say that again?
About 508 okay. For dry stack.
So that would be 50 west slopes.
That's correct. 51.
51.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That would be
5 o'clock. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. The last meeting, I'm really speaking for myself, and I hope for the people of Texas and mining land, public human lake is not a private lake, it's a public lake. And as we decide, boat loading, I look at it as a public human lake as an ecosystem. There's only so much capacity that an ecosystem can carry. And the ecosystem, in my view, has to be calculated on the base of public need first. How much of that lake is reserved for public use? How much of that lake is reserved for the ecology? How much of that lake, important to me and us, how much of that lake is reserved for BRA future economic development? And when we start subtracting what's out there now versus what's in the pipeline for plans. A point I'm getting at some point in time, I said at the last meeting, I've repeated it again today, at some point in time, we'll have to set a human vacancy. This is enough. But we have, first of all, we must take care of public needs. It is a public lake. And my concern is, like I said at the last meeting, is that the whole community has its whole economic system is based around the lake. Everything up there revolves around the use of this lake. And my point of view is that we as fiduciary responsible for the use of that lake and the development of that lake, but principally, in my view, we must first take care of the public needs and the BRA's needs and the ecology needs. And I trust Kent and the staff. This is what I've been to my point here. As we adopt these big learning studies, and we also scientifically continue to calculate the carrying capacity of these zones and areas. Around the world, they're all being calculated very carefully, taken into account. Even a simple thing like a shoreline buffer for swimming and for fishing. And all these things that we taken care of, first of all, before we sit around and allocate the entire lake capacity up to commercial development.
And this is the bottom line number of Kent too, that basically would take the lake all to a 10 acres or less than
for
boat.
That's all it can be.
This figure down here. According to the study, it's a study in the methodology within.
Other comments? I have a question for Kent. When they developed that boat loading study, as I recall, they used the 4th of July weekend as the aggregate?
Yes.
And that ran the total, or the average, way up.
Well, it didn't run the average way up. You've heard arguments from at least one entity within that the average ran way up. In John Petrie's view, based on the down season, if I could say, or the average that he did and he looked at for park attendance and both at our public rec area attendance, that year the attendance was down, and he felt like in his mind that the 4th of July data did not skew his information, but it actually made it more appropriate. Weighing that in at the 25% value that he did, Director Skaggs. In his mind, it was not skewed at all. He felt like that he needed to do that to give the fair representation that he felt like on the lake based on the other factual data that he had that showed less attendance.
When you say attendance was down that year, what attendance are you talking about?
The public, the attendance at our BRA public rec areas, the attendance at the state park, the folks coming to the lake.
Was the boat camp study done that year?
Yes. Yes, sir. This past year.
I mean, that year we're talking about.
Yes. Yes.
And it was that?
Yes. And there were, I believe it's in the voting capacity study report and the final report that he gave. He has some charts in there, if I remember right, that showed the attendance figures. And he put out some graphs, I believe, at the 11 April, I believe it was, workshop committee meeting that we had to reflect that. We can find your page.
Yeah. Was the state park closed during that period of time during the study?
I think, Mike, can you answer that? I believe it was for a certain period of time. Yeah.
Okay. Also, the BRA numbers that he used to supplement, those numbers were taken on a wider range of time than just during the study time. Were all those numbers included, or was it the numbers excluded at the BRA data outside that study?
Let me look and see. I want to think he gave the dates, if I remember right, that he used on that. I wanted to think it was for the year, but it may have been just in the months. I don't believe, Mike, it was just in the months. Can you tell from the dates on that?
No.
Or the time frame that he took our data from the BRA rep areas. If it was, Director Martin's asking if that was for the entire year, or if it was during the time frame of the study.
Yeah,
I've seen the numbers, I believe, that were used, that he used from BIA, and it looked like some of them were just averages, because it had the same number of day after day, or it'd be 41.5 or things like that. Was an actual count, or were averages used during?
Well, the ranges actually get out and count.
Okay. And, you know, unless the numbers that I saw were not truly straight from the BRA, I was just wondering how they came up with a 7.5. Is that like a kid or a... I had two questions about the state park being closed for a number of days during the study period, so their numbers would be down, obviously. And then the strategic use BRI numbers, head counts from the, I guess, public use areas. And the numbers that I saw had of dates that ranged outside of this particular boat loading studies area. And I was just wondering if all of that was used or just the counts, BRI accounts that fell in that time period, were they used, or was everything used?
Well, our head counts were conducted from April through October. The state park was open during that time. And it's my understanding during our boat capacity study that the state park was open and operational during that time. They were closed during the summer, during the winter for some time there. There were also a couple of weekends that they had some water problems at the late in the summer, early fall, that they were closed for some time. As far as the incorporation of those numbers, we did provide those headcount numbers to Mr. Teetree, and those were collected from April through October. I think Teetree felt very strongly that the data that he had to look at during the course of that study definitely made him feel like his recommendation for the MAP-B and the July 3rd data, including that, was a much fairer representation for the lake. At least that's what I gathered from John. Yes, sir.
Okay.
In regards to looking at the boat loading study as it pertains to future development on the lake, I'm okay with the resolution the way it reads. But I'm going to restate that we had a group that came to us 9 years ago, and I think if we'd done a boat loading study 9 years ago, it would have looked significantly different. And by taking your calculations and allowing Gaines Bend, which is the oldest development, why they didn't have a lane before, I don't know, but they've approached us three times within the last 9 years, and saying you can only have 76 dry stack storage units. I mean, that's economically, the numbers just don't work. I don't know that for sure, but I would imagine you got to have more than 76 boats to make it financially feasible to run a dry stack storage system. So, and I guess this is more for the benefit of my directors, I'm okay with the way this resolution reads. When we take it from this date and we move forward for our new development, but I think our science needs to be tempered with some common sense, and I have a problem in inferring these numbers to the Gaines Bend people. And if we can't work something out, I can't support this resolution. So, you know, I'll defer to the judgment of my fellow directors, but I just feel like our science needs to be tempered with some common sense. And I'm just morally conflicted with it. So,
if I could add one other thing too, and I certainly in respect to the Gibsons here and their position and the Bill's position too, in my time with Mike and working the issue on the Gibsons, I certainly probably should let Mike speak, but it's my understanding, I realize that the Gibsons probably with the family have been looking for some time to do a marina, but the first time that we actually had, I think, a set of plans for Mike to review, hard copy anyway, was in the January, February time frame of last year after the board had already approved that we gave up the boating capacity study. And Mike, if I'm wrong on that, please correct me, but I think it's been about 15, 16 months now that we had the actual final plans of what they wanted to do. And I don't mean that against the Gibsons. If you're morally conflicted of where they have been or you perceive or have heard that they have been with the board, I think what we have seen as a staff anyway is that's kind of the first time anyway that we had plans that way. And certainly, Mike, if I'm wrong, please correct me.
Well, did the TBA study even indicate that they allowed for a marina at Gaines Bend at some point?
They looked at that. I'll have to go back and look at the TBA study, but I know that they reviewed it. You know, all I'm saying, I'm not saying that the Gibsons for some time maybe have not wanted to do something in that area with the marina. I'm just saying that us as a staff and looking at firm plans from them for that, it's been about 15 months, and when we got those, the boating capacity study had already been approved by the board and commenced with.
See, if they've got 600 interior lots coming online, then they're going to have 600 people that have their boats parked under a boat cover, and they're going to use that ramp. And those 600 boats are going to affect the lake just as if there was a dry stack storage unit. I mean, we can't restrict what somebody has in their own yard. I guess is what I'm getting at. So,
I realize that. I know that we can't from that perspective, but we can restrict, if the board elects to do so, what the board of capacity study tells us to do.
Okay.
In the comments, it says financial impact, the cost of the study is approximately $70,000 for both of us. Now, is there any cost to implementation? Do you have what you need to implement the boat loading study? We'll pass the ball back to you now.
I don't know, Mike. I don't think at this point necessarily. It's just a matter of as we work with the board in particular developments, as some of those that you've heard anyway, as we move forward with it. But as far as manpower, I don't think we do.
As far as a boat loading capacity study is concerned, it's more of a decision. A decision index for us, as opposed to anything else.
As far as everything that I've tried to do here, if I ask the staff or direct the staff to do something, I want to make sure you got the resources to make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Can I agree on that comment you just made, a decision index for us? What do you mean by that?
It gives us a management tool to work with. If a developer comes to us and says, I want to put a 300-foot marina in the red area. We're going to refer to the boat landing study as a tool that we have available to us to make the best decision that we can.
Any other comments or questions, staff? My comment, for what it's worth, is I agree with Wade in that I think the games ban thing ought to be a separate issue or a waiver or some tempering of the and rewording of the resolution. If it means I can't, at this point in time, I can't go ahead with what they have planned to do and what we have delayed them in doing, then I would have to vote no as it is.
I agree with Sal.
And I share the same concerns regarding the Gaines Bend development.
Any other comments?
Let's look at that resolution again. Director Skaggs would like to look at the resolution again. To the last line there, is that the one we're concerned with?
First one,
I think it's this one up here. This is more of a private docks and new developments. This one right here.
Could I ask a question?
If we have directors that are worried about this, the appropriate procedure in my mind would be to offer an amendment to the resolution.
The board's discussion is to offer, if there's enough problems with this by directors, offer an amendment to the resolution.
We'll vote on the amendment and then vote on the amended resolution. So if you're seriously concerned, offer an amendment.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Little lady, what is the procedure right now?
I think you either want two things. I think you can go ahead and, if you want, vote on the resolution as is, but in the past we have gone ahead and allowed a proposed amendment if the board members are willing to do that. If you want to specifically put inclusion language in this resolution, excluding Gaines Bend, maybe something, trying to figure out where you want to go, you could do a couple of things. You could have a specific resolution first where you vote and you state that this will not apply to Gaines Bend based upon the prior discussions. I mean, I do think you need to specifically say that there is a reason why Gaines Bend is not being treated under this, because if you don't, then you open up the door to every other developer who's come in to date and said, you know, we also negotiate with you, because I will just tell you, in the last 6 months, I know of several other developments who have made similar requests. So, I mean, I think if you're going to do this for Gaines Bend, you need to state that it's been an ongoing development over a period of years because of those requests on a past historical basis, that you'll exclude them from enforcement of that, of, you know, this specific section of the resolution. And you could make a note after that section excluding Gaines Bend, based upon the prior 10-year history or whatever the history was that you stated, Director Gere.
Procedurally, though, my question would be, at this point, would it be appropriate for a director, should he or she choose, to offer an amendment?
I think I'm going to defer that. There's probably other people who are better at Robert Schultz than I am. I can certainly pull the book, but I think the director who made the initial motion would have to amend the motion, but I can pull
it. Could be any director.
Can anyone director do it? Okay. Because we haven't filed. I mean, we have never formally adopted. Let me just for a point of clarification. We have never formally adopted Robert Schultz's order. So a lot of times we're giving these discussions and people ask, is that binding? And arguably it's not binding, but it's certainly a good guideline to follow, I think. So at this point, I mean, I would certainly defer to that if, you know, if we want to follow the Robert Schultz's order.
It would be more appropriate for another director to do it other than the one that offers.
I have a comment that I feel like we have to settle this and not end up again with 50 people coming to ask for variances.
and I don't have anything against Dane being. If we want amended for that, I would be willing to vote for that. But I sure want it to be real clear that we're not going to, every time somebody wants a variance, they come to us. So now we have this set of rules and we're going to get another variance. So I understand Dane's being because of the length of time that we've been working with them. And I'd like to be fair to them and protect the lake as well. But I sure don't want to open the door for other people. So we need somebody that can come up with a really good resolution amendment if we're going to do that special variance.
Mr. Stoneberg?
I think we're opening the Pandora's box if we go that direction, and I understand the concern. But I also think I heard that there was not a formal package put on the floor back when this was talked about. There's been a lot of things talked about by a lot of people. And if you open this up, I think you're going to be right back where you were with having scads of different situations that you don't know what to do with. I think you're either for or against the boat building study as it stands and about to vote it up or down.
Mr. Chairman, if I may too as well, if you don't mind, as the deliberation goes here, reference by the Kingdom, I have to look Lee Overstreet in the face over here quite often when I'm at Granbury. He has been a great guy to work with as well. And you heard him up late 61 years with his family and wanting to develop the development that he discussed, that others discussed at Granbury. Three out of those four fall right in, as they mentioned this morning again, and Harold Sandell, a red area that was saying no more underwater development. I'm very concerned as a staffer having to work that with them, knowing what we're about to do as well, I think, or at least what I'm going to present to the board on the cut-through moratorium at Granbury. At some point, we're going to have to deal as a staff, and I think you as a board, with this voting capacity study at Granbury at those same issues. And he has, as he mentioned, many years of, I would say, seniority that way when it comes to wanting to do a development down in that area that right now the voting capacity would say no more development. So just for me, it's a real issue for me as a staff of working with these gentlemen over here as we deliberate at PK, this all falls over into Granbury as well.
And I just come back to the fact that we're talking about future development versus the largest development and oldest development on PK that has no facility. So it's easy for me to draw a line in the sand and say, but we need to address an issue that has gone unanswered. It was addressed in the TVA study. It's been addressed in the past, and they have no facility. If they had 100 slips or 50 slips or 500 slips, I'd be okay with this. I'm just saying they are a very large development that's on the ground. It's not something that's going to come. It's something that's here. So that's my only thought on the issue. I mean, to me, moving forward, future development, the line has been drawn in the sand. We've got a straggler in regards to James Bend that has no facility.
But, well, I would just suggest that we've heard back and forth on this people's position. Either we vote heads up or somebody offers an amendment. I think we're to that position.
We need to vote on the original.
Are you going to
I would like to offer an amendment, please. Mr. Stance, I have been in favor of cookie cutter regulations. And I've been on a lot of boards. And I can tell you that when you tie everybody's hands and you don't look at the circumstances of each one, you're not doing people right, I don't think. And so I would offer an amendment to move that we exempt Gaines Bend from this building capacity study because of their many years of efforts and work at Possum Kingdom.
The amendment will require a second.
I'll second that. There's an amendment to the resolution and a second amendment offered by Director Skaggs, seconded by Director Wade.
Hold the board.
And do you vote? Are you voting on the amendment or the resolution?
Now voting on the amendment.
Voting on the amendment.
Hold the board, please.
current data.
Was there going to be a comment?
Yes.
Director Bagnon?
No.
Director Ellison?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Baker?
Yes.
Director Blum?
No.
Director Quarava?
No.
Director Chalmette? Director Christian?
No.
Director DeClewitt?
No.
Director Garcia?
No.
Director Deere?
Yes.
Director Hughes?
No.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Lawrence?
No.
Director Martin?
Yes.
Director Moore?
No.
Director Staggs?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
It's a tie. This is easy. Nine, ten, yes.
It's amazing.
So the men have passed, ten and nine.
So the men have passed.
Right. Now we vote on the amended resolution.
This time we'll call for a resolution.
Yes.
Chairman Pena?
Yes.
Director Bagnon?
Yes.
Director Ellison?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Baker?
Yes.
Director Blum?
Yes.
Director Quarava?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director DeClewitt?
Yes.
Director Garcia?
Yes.
Director Deere?
Yes.
Director Hughes?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Lawrence?
Yes.
Director Martin?
Yes.
Director Moore?
Yes.
Director Staggs?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Thank you very much, members of the board. And I'll just make one personal comment before we go on to item six. You in the audience just had some kind of insight to the fact that this board has various and different ideas about things, and we are taking everything to heart. We understand those issues out there. This is not all set in stone. It's very difficult for each one of us. So please understand that as we go forward.
During the break, there was some discussion that said that a member of the board would like to read. Vote on the last issue. We'll read the first order and show you exactly where we are.
Once again, I want to articulate that while Robert's rules of order is not binding, certainly it's a good go-by. Reconsider. Motion to review a previous decision and vote on it again. It must be made by a person who voted on the prevailing or winning side. It requires a majority vote. Reconsideration may not be moved more than once on the same motion. So there's one shot at a motion of reconsideration, and it would have to be made by the person who voted on the prevailing side, and it requires a majority vote. I would like to call for a revote.
Director Ellison has called for a revote.
On what?
On the amendment. On the amended resolution under item 5.
Second motion, just to make sure you...
I think the procedure is that the director, you voted affirmatively on the last vote, Director Ellison. You would state that you wish to make a motion to reconsider, and the motion to reconsider would be on the amendment to the proposed resolution for the Possum Canyon Boeing Capacity Study. I think you make that statement. I think if there's any discussion on that, you have it, you call for a second, and then we do a vote and see if there's a majority.
Discussion and call for a second.
I think you can call for a second and have a discussion.
No, second by Director Moore. Discussion.
Can someone second and vote against it?
Do you want us to run through the list?
Yeah.
It says on the motion, all it says, and I'm just, you know, I'm going by what the words of our rules were, it just said the motion has to be made by a person voting on the prevailing side. So, it's not.
The second is probably also on the prevailing side.
Well, in that case, I can't second it, but Roberts does not say that. Anybody can second it.
I mean, what I'm saying is it does not specifically articulate that.
It doesn't say it. Anybody can second it. But would somebody on the prevailing side please second it?
I'll second it. Open up for discussion.
The reason that I wanted to call for a re-vote, and I probably wasn't paying as much attention as I should have, but I think when we have that amendment, we are asking, we walk out of here as a board and go home and do our thing, and staff has to implement that decision. And there's always going to be an exception to every rule. And Director Skaggs, I agree very wholeheartedly that we have to be fair within that system. I believe our staff is very fair. I just think at some point in time, we have to be able to empower them to do what they need to do and not always take care of the exceptions to the rule. And so for that reason, I wanted to reconsider and ask for a re-vote.
Any other comments? Director Lawrence.
I think that, during the intermission, we were asked for one other committee. You made exceptions for them. Why can't you make an exception for us? We've been asking for it for 7 years. We got to stop somewhere. We adopt what the staff has done, what we're presented, or we're opening Pandora's box for suit after suit. And I think we have to reconsider it from a standpoint and stay with the staff's recommendation.
Okay, and I want to add, we stay with the staff's recommendation. We allow Games Bend to do, under staff's recommendation, they would be allowed 76 slips, correct? So they get 8 on-water courtesy docks, and that does not affect how many boats are put on that lake. Because if they have 600 lots, those 600 people are going to get those boats in the water. So when we say we're looking at something that's a scientific study, there's a huge variable out there that we're not covering. And your comment about, you know, the boats, and we have to be proactive in regards to the boat that will hold a certain number of boats. So the way I look at it, the lake's only going to hold about the number of boats that we have lots around the lake now. So are we going to be good stewards and say we're not going to develop any more of our land because it's going to affect the number of boats on the lake and we're already maxed out now? So, you know, that's when I come back and I say science is great when it's covered with common sense.
But we also own 600 lots. All 600 you think would be out at one time?
Well, no, but if you're saying there's
10%. 10%? No. I mean,
but see, it doesn't, but whether you have your boat in your garage or you're provided a dry stack storage, those boats are going to be on the lake.
But the project, dry stack storage is the issue, right? And the red area. But I don't think all 600 boats and everything will be out at one time, so there's
power question.
Call the question.
We're voting on the amendment, right, Steve? The game's exception.
What are we voting on? Just make sure that what we've done everybody understands their vote.
Initially, I believe, when this original reconsideration came out, it was the amended resolution. I've heard two things about what we're reconsidering. What we need to know exactly, what are we reconsidering? Because it's not clear to me.
And I think if you're going to do a motion, the way I read it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Robert's Rules of Order people, but I think if you're doing a motion for reconsideration, it needs to be to one of the specific motions that was voted on. And there was two motions voted on, correct?
There was one motion and one amendment. The reconsideration has to be on the amendment first,
Right.
Then on the motion.
But there was two separate. There was two separate issues so within the body of it.
Two votes.
Right.
Both. If you're reconsidering the amendment, then you have to reconsider the amendment first.
Right.
Then you reconsider the motion.
Right. And right now you
do it. Was that the first vote that we're going to have to
do? That's the first vote on the amendment, which is against succession.
No, wait a minute. That's not what I asked.
We're going to do the reconsideration.
Right.
That's
correct.
All directors understand what they had a vote on?
Chairman Pena.
Yes.
Director Balion.
Yes.
Director Ellison.
Yes.
Director Adams.
Yes.
Director Baker.
No.
Director Blum.
Yes.
Director Carraba.
Yes.
Director Christian.
Yes.
Director DeFluid.
Yes.
Director Garcia.
Yes.
Director Gear.
No.
Director
Hughes.
Yes.
Director Johnson.
Yes. Director
Kilgore.
No.
Director Lawrence.
Yes.
Director Martin. No.
Director Moore.
Yes.
Director Skaggs.
No.
Director Zaccanino.
No.
So it's a majority, so you would go on
with review or call for a revote on the amended resolution.
No, the amendment was amended. Not the amended resolution.
Exception.
She explains.
A motion to reconsider the amendment. That's what it's called. I believe what you do is, at least in looking at the right of chosen order, which you're not bound by, but if you want to follow that, at this time you can have a motion to reconsider the vote on the amendment to the resolution.
We just made a resolution.
We're going to vote now on the resolution,
on the amendment itself.
Okay.
Okay, well, somebody is, he state the amendment is,
the amendment was to exempt Gaines Bend from this resolution, from the requirements of the resolution.
The amendment was
to exempt Gaines Bend from the requirements of the resolution on the voting capacity study.
To exempt, okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Zaccanino, did you second that?
Yes.
I would say. Okay. Do we need another motion and a second?
No.
We're not voting
on the reconsideration.
Voting on the reconsideration.
No, we've already done it,
so we're voting on the amendment itself.
Gaines Bend, yes.
Gaines Bend, no.
Could I ask a question about this? If we change the results of the amendment, then we will have to vote again on the resolution.
That's correct. Hold the board.
Chairman Pena.
Yes.
Director Bayon.
No.
Director Ellison.
No.
Director Adams.
Yes.
Director Baker.
Yes.
Director Blum. No. Director Carraba. No. Director Christian.
No.
Director DeFluid. No. Director Garcia.
No.
Director Hughes.
No.
Director Johnson.
No.
Director Kilgore.
Yes.
Director Lawrence.
No.
Director Martin.
Yes.
Director Moore.
No.
Director Skaggs.
Yes.
Director Zaccanino.
Yes. Now we go on the resolution.
As presented.
Over.
Chairman Pena.
Yes.
Director Balion.
Yes.
Director Ellison.
Yes.
Director Adams.
Yes.
Director Baker.
Yes.
Director
Blum.
Yes.
Director Carraba.
Yes.
Director Christian.
Yes.
Director DeFluid.
Yes.
Director Garcia.
Yes.
Director Gear.
No.
Director Hughes.
Yes.
Director Johnson.
Yes.
Director Kilgore.
No.
Director Lawrence.
Yes.
Director Martin.
No.
Director Skaggs.
Yes.
Director Zaccanino.
Yes.
Director Baker.
Yes.
Director Blum.
Yes.
Director Carraba.
Yes.
Director Christian.
Yes.
Director Gear.
No.
Director Hughes Director Moore?
Yes.
Director Skaggs?
Yes.
Director Zabinino?
No.
And
Will?
Motion carries.